Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I hope that you will consider coming and worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the Lord's Day. Is it Saturday or Sunday? When do Christians assemble for worship? Do they do that on Saturday or do they do that on Sunday? Let's answer that question this morning from the Word of God. In just a minute, we'll see that we can worship God every day in some respects. We'll see that. But I'm talking about when we come together as a church, is that to be on Saturday or Sunday? Well, Sabbatarians, also known as Seventh-day Adventists, they trace their origin back to Ellen G. White in 1847. And she claimed to have revelations at that time saying that the day of worship was on Saturday. And so, of course, Orthodox Jews will worship God on the Sabbath day or Saturday. But some so-called Christian denominations, like the Seventh-day Adventist, they worship God on Saturday. And some will teach that the change of worship from Saturday to Sunday was made by the Roman Emperor Constantine in 321 AD. And originally Christians in the New Testament, they worshiped on Saturday, but the Roman emperors and then later the Roman Catholic Church changed it to Sunday. And we're going to see that that is actually not true. The first century Christians worshiped on Sunday. It wasn't as a result of the Roman emperors or the Catholic papacy. Others teach that worshiping on Sunday is the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9. Of course, that's not the case. The mark of the beast in the book of Revelation is on people who, and it's symbolic, just like people in the book of Revelation have God's name on their forehead, showing that they identify and follow God, others identify and follow the beast, which in Revelation chapter 13 is Roman government, Roman religion, and this mark is symbolically showing that they are following the world and not Christ. And so the mark of the beast is not worshiping on Sunday. So, what day are we to worship God? What does the New Testament teach? That's what we're interested in, friends. This is the Let the Bible Speak program. We're not interested in history or church tradition or man's beliefs or creeds and catechisms written by men. We're interested in what the Bible teaches. And when it comes to the day of worship, we're interested in what the Bible teaches. Now, there is a sense in which some acts of worship to God can be done on any day of the week: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, which was a Sunday, when the New Testament church began, the first gospel sermon, those who were baptized under the Great Commission for the remission of sins, the first time there, we find that as this new church begins, a church of Christ, a church belonging to Christ in Jerusalem, we find in Acts 2:46, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Several things there, but notice day by day they are in the temple praising God. At home, separate from the worship or the church service, was eating together, as early Christians often did, but it was not a church service. It was not a work of the church. But when they were day by day in the temple, that's where they were praising God. And notice, day by day. So there's some things that you can do every day. We find something similar in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. So there were three things in the New Testament where people were doing that on a daily basis. Number one, singing. Number two, praying. And number three, preaching the Word of God and studying the Word of God. That can be done on any day. And we will have, for example, we will have a Wednesday night church service where there will be singing and praying and studying the Word of God. Sometimes we will have what we call a gospel meeting. It'll start on Thursday and then Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we will have singing and praying and studying the Bible. So those things can be done every day. But there are two things mentioned in the New Testament that are done only on the first day of the week. And in just a minute, we will determine what day that is. But let me first say that these two things were done on that day and on that day only, the first day of the week. One thing was the Lord's Supper. And we read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when we, that is Paul and Luke is traveling with him and others, they meet with the Christians there at Troas, when we, the Christians, the disciples there at Troas, were gathered together to break bread. This, in the book of Acts, is a description of the Lord's Supper. Paul discoursed with them. He preached from the Word of God. But the taking of the Lord's Supper was limited to the first day of the week, not any day. And then the second act that is mentioned as being done on the first day of the week, not just any day of the week, is the contribution or the collection or the free will offering of our money to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you, talking to the Corinthian brethren, upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. So that's the second act. And there's a basic Bible principle that runs even in the Old and New Testament, and that is when something specifically is mentioned, then all other things are excluded. So when Paul says, I want this done upon the first day of the week, that excludes all other days of the week. So, the first day of the week, and we're going to establish that in just a minute as being Sunday and not Saturday. The Sabbath day, Saturday, let's take that first. This was something that was given by God in the Old Testament to the Jews. It was not meant for all people of all time and especially for today. It was a covenant. It was an old law that was given to the Jews and the Jews only. Some people are not being taught this principle, friends. It's something that's being ignored today and it has been for some time. We do not distinguish the different covenants that are in the Bible. We just open our Bible and anywhere our finger falls, we say, you know, we're supposed to be doing that today. So anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, wherever your finger falls, whatever verse, we're supposed to be doing that today. And people are not being taught that there are actual differences in covenants that God is making with people. And when God makes a covenant with a certain people, it's for that people. And we don't just turn anywhere in our Bible and say, well, we're supposed to be doing this today. People will turn to the Old Testament for instrumental music. That was for the Jews. It's not for us today. People will turn to the Old Testament for tithing. That was for the Jews. That is not for today. And people will turn to the Old Testament for the Sabbath day, Saturday. That was for the Jews. It's not for us today. So we have to distinguish between covenants. There are basically three areas in our Bible where God makes covenants. God made covenants to the patriarchs. This is before the law of Moses. God made covenants with the patriarchs. So all of the book of Genesis, God makes covenants with the patriarchs, starting with Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. So all of Genesis and the first few chapters of Exodus, God is dealing with what we call the patriarchs, the heads of families, and covenants are made with them. That's one period. A second period is the law of Moses. This was given to the nation of Israel only, starting at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. And it runs all the way through the book of Malachi. And even Jesus and those of his day in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they lived under the law of Moses. That's why in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you're reading the life of Christ, you'll read about Jesus and others talking about going to the temple. And on one occasion, Jesus told a leper to go show himself to the priest. They're living under the old law. But when Jesus died on the cross, he instituted his new covenant. He shed his blood for a new covenant. And so after the cross, and beginning on the day of Pentecost, running through the rest of the New Testament all up until today, we have the eternal covenant, the new covenant of Jesus Christ. That's the covenant that we are under. And so we have to distinguish the different time frames and the different covenants. And with regard to the Sabbath day, then, it was something that was binding from Mount Sinai all the way through the time of the old law until it was done away at the cross of Christ. And so we're very familiar, for example, with Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is the law of Moses that was given to the Jews. And there's many passages that talk about the Jews observing the Sabbath day. It was originally, if you read verses 9, 10, and 11, it began as a day of rest. They were to rest from their physical labor, and then it also became a day in which they could offer up sacrifices to God at the tabernacle and then later in the temple. So when was it binding? Well, when the law of Moses was binding. Number two, why was it observed? Well, it was to remember the Exodus. It was to remember their deliverance from bondage. First of all, it was to show that God rested on the seventh day from his creation, Genesis 1 and 2, and they were to rest from their physical labors. But it was also intended to be a remembrance of coming out of Egypt. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, when this law of Moses is repeated right before going into the land of Canaan with a new generation of Israelites, God says through Moses, Deuteronomy 5:2, Jehovah our God made a covenant with us in Horeb, or Mount Sinai. Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, that's the patriarchs, Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. This is a law of Moses beginning in Exodus chapter 20. It was not given to the patriarchs, but with us, even us who are all here alive this day. And then we come down to verse 12, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Jehovah thy God commanded thee. And he talks about how that God rested, and then in verse 15, and thou shalt remember that you were servants in the land of Egypt. So remembering God's rest on the seventh day, and you need to rest from your work, and remember that you were servants in Egypt, and God brought you out by a mighty hand. Therefore, Jehovah thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So those two reasons are given. And it was a sign between God and Israel. It's the law of Moses. It was not meant to be for all time and all place. And so we don't just dip back into the Old Testament anytime we want and get something out of that. It is something for the Jews on up until the time of the law of Christ. We are under the law of Christ now. Paul talks about the law of Christ in 1 Corinthians 9. It's the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1. That is the law that we are under today. We're not under the law of Moses. And so we don't just go back to the Old Testament anytime we want to get instrumental music or tithing or the Sabbath day. That's a grave mistake that many pastors and preachers and other church leaders make. And the people in the pew, they don't know their Bible, and so they just go along with that. But we've got to distinguish these covenants and these laws. It was a sign between God and Israel. If you turn to Exodus 31, you'll find that this is something to be for Israel. Exodus 31, verse 12, Jehovah spake to Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily you shall keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." Between me and you. It was not meant to be for all people of all time. It's just very simple. And he repeats the Sabbath law again there. And again, verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So, that's who it is given to. And then last of all, how long is it to be observed? Well, it would last all the way up until Jesus died on the cross, and he would institute his new covenant. How do we know that? How do we know that Jesus' blood inaugurated a new covenant? Well, because he said so on the night of his betrayal in the upper room when they are taking the Passover meal. This will be the very last of the old law. He also institutes a new supper, the Lord's Supper. And in Matthew 26:26, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins." That cup of grape juice, the fruit of the vine, is becoming then the memorial for a new covenant. The blood of the covenant. So the passing of the old law and the covenant of Jesus. So Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and what happened then? Well, Paul, looking back, says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, "For he, Jesus, is our peace, who made both one, both Jews and Gentiles, and break down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments in ordinances." That's the old law, the law of Moses. "That he might create in himself of two, the one new man, so making peace." The law of Moses is taken out of the way. And it's very important to understand that principle. He break down the middle wall of partition. It is gone. And we don't need to try to resurrect it and put it back up by going back to the old law for various things. Paul will write the same thing in Colossians chapter 2 with a little bit different wording. Paul says, concerning Jesus, "having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us," the old law, "and he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." He has taken it out of the way. It's gone. And in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10, the Hebrew writer makes it clear as well. He's talking about the first will, the first testament, the first covenant, Hebrews 10:9, "He taketh away the first," that's the old law, the law of Moses, "that he may establish the second." In fact, in the Old Testament, it was even prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31 that there would one day be a new covenant, a new covenant, not the law of Moses, but a new covenant. Jeremiah 31, 31 and following. And in Hebrews chapter 8, the author of Hebrews says that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. And then he quotes the passage from Jeremiah 31 and 31, that the law of Christ is that new covenant that has come. So friends, we are not under the Sabbath law because, number one, it was a part of the old law. Number two, it was for the Jews. Number three, it was to observe in part not only rest, but their deliverance from Egypt. And number four, we're not under the Sabbath law because it has been taken out of the way. This did not come as a result of some new revelation. Ellen G. White, around 1847, said she got a revelation that the passages that were, God was highlighting certain passages in the Bible talking about the Sabbath day, that we need to have the Sabbath day in our life. There is no latter-day revelation. I'm going to go by what the Apostle Paul and the author of Hebrews wrote, not what Ellen G. White claimed. It is not the mark of the beast. It is not something that was changed by the Roman emperors or the papacy. It's something that becomes straight out of our New Testament. Now, is Sunday the first day of the week? Yes. First of all, we're told concerning the resurrection of Christ, and many people were thinking about that last Sunday, and I think that's a good thing. We need to be thinking about the resurrection of Christ. There is no Bible authority for a special church Easter program, but we certainly need to be thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're told that he came out of the grave on the first day of the week. Matthew 28, 1, Mark 16, 2 and 9, Luke 24, 1, John 20, verse 1. When you read all of these passages, you find that it was early on the first day of the week when Jesus came out of the grave. That's on Sunday morning. This is also the day that Jesus assembled with his disciples in John 20, verse 1, and then also verse 19, and then the following Sunday, John 20, verse 26. This is the day that the New Testament church was established. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, you would have seven sets of seven. That would give you 49, which is another Saturday, and then 50 would put it on Sunday. So on the first day of the week, Jesus came out of the grave, Sunday morning. It's when he first met with his disciples. Number three, it's when the church was first established. And what's interesting is that they were coming together for a Jewish holiday, the Pentecost, and they are learning that now they need to come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts is going to show the apostles trying to get the Jews to change from the law of Moses to the law of Christ. There were some things that they could continue to do under the law of Moses that would not be a problem, such as eating certain things. And if they still wanted to observe certain days or make some vows, Paul had a vow on one occasion that was most likely taken from the Old Testament law, that's fine. But with regard to the day of worship, it has changed to Sunday. And with regard to the terms of entrance into God's family, it's no longer circumcision. It's obedience to the gospel of Christ. So there's been some changes, and the Jewish world is having to learn about these changes. Christians assembled on the first day of the week for the taking of the Lord's Supper. We noticed that earlier in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And for the giving of the collection, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Well, why do we know that the first day of the week is Sunday? That is actually the Jewish expression. A Jewish week was considered from Sabbath to Sabbaton. And the first day of the week was actually called the first of the Sabbaths. One week was a Sabbaton or a Sabbath week. So Saturday was the Sabbath. The first of the Sabbath would be Sunday. The second would be Monday. The third would be Tuesday. The fourth would be Wednesday. The fifth would be Thursday. Friday was called the day of preparation, and then the Sabbath again. So in a Jewish mindset, the phrase first day of the week is literally the first of the Sabbaths. It is, in other words, Sunday. And so the first day of the week, early on the first day of the week, when Jesus came out of the tomb or the grave, that is Sunday. Now, just briefly, our English days of the week are given completely different names because of the Anglo-Saxon origin. Sunday came from the day of the sun. Monday came from the day of the moon. Tuesday came from the day of Tiw, the god of war, who was also known as Zeus to the Greeks. Wednesday came from the day of Woden, a Germanic deity. Thursday, the day of Thor, a Norse god of thunder. Friday, the day of Frigg, a goddess, the wife of Woden. And then Saturday, day of Saturn, a Roman god of agriculture. Our days of the week actually come from pagan Greek and Roman names. But in the New Testament, the first day of the week is literally the first of Sabbaths, and it was the very next day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday, of course. Friends, the New Testament is completely silent about Christians assembling as a church on the Sabbath day to worship God. In the New Testament, they would continue to go be with the Jews on the Sabbath in the synagogue to teach the gospel to them, but they worshiped in assemblies on the first day of the week. Paul used the Sabbath as an opportunity to teach, but not for the worship of the church. Sunday is the day that we gather and assemble together to take the Lord's Supper. It is, I believe, the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10, and it is the day that we need to be worshiping in the here and now. Friends, if you're not doing that, let me encourage you to do that. Come together on the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. Let Him have that day. We have other days that we can play golf and sit around and relax and do other kind. Go to the beach, go to the river, go camping, whatever, mow the lawn. There's plenty of other time to do that. Let's give the Lord first on the Lord's Day. And if we can help you to have that in your life, please come visit us, or I'd be glad to come have a Bible study with you. Let's put the Lord first on the Lord's Day. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.